Welcome to the Best Hour of Their Day podcast with your hosts, Jason Fernandez.
And me, Jason Ackerman. With more than 20 years in the business,
as both coaches and affiliate owners,
our passion is to help create world-class affiliates
and coaches by building
better
boxes.
Welcome to
the Best Hour of Your Day. All right, everybody, we are back. Jen Broxerman.
Hi.
A lot to talk about.
Yeah.
We did two.
We get chatty.
Yeah, we talked. We did two podcasts previously. I want to know what's new. You were just in Richmond with Mark England and the Unlifted crew.
I was. One of the best weekends I've had in a really long time.
I want to know how the Wolves are doing.
They are great. The Wolves came
flashback,
up.
Flashback.
And everyone was like vibing with it. They're like, of course Wolves told you not to do chemotherapy and you're going to cure yourself of cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what's new? What's going on?
Yeah. So in the last year, I've just been, well, let's start with the recap of where we left off. Mm-hmm. This month is my 5-year anniversary of being diagnosed with stage 3 ovarian cancer. I was told I had an 8% chance I would stand here today and talk to you. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the doctor and I was like, someone's got to be in the 8%.
Right.
Why not me? So Thursday night, I just had my 23rd CT scan. Still all clear.
That's a lot of CT scans.
I know. I have to actually like ask them to be like, you can't keep checking me this much. You're probably going to kill me with radiation poisoning.
I get four a year,
and I've had a few emergency ones
just
to like clear some stuff up. They've all come back clear. So I'm first and foremost celebrating alive, being well, being cancer free. And my nutrition coaching business, Nutrition RX, has just exploded out of the pandemic. So more growth than I could ever possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. We literally don't do paid ads. It's like a floodgate of people coming in. And then my certification company, Prosper, has like just onboarded so many gyms and coaches, again, all organically.
Which is the bigger of the two? Your nutrition coaching or the
They're almost equal, which is kind of funny. But one has fewer clients with like higher ticket price,
a little bit more scale.
And yeah, the nutrition has more clients, but yeah.
What was the deal with Mark? What was going on there in the...
So
Mark England, been on the podcast before.
Yeah. So I have done my level 1 and level 2 with Unlifted. Mm-hmm. And what he did is he put together a panel of 5 speakers that were students of his mm-hmm. that are like, you guys are crushing it. Can you talk about
Joel Cochran was one of them.
He was. Yep. Man, that cowboy is a cool dude.
He's a cowboy.
Yeah. And he basically was like, are you willing to go up on stage and talk about something really interesting to our audience, mm-hmm. but also highlight how Unlifted has shown up in whether it's your personal or professional life or both. And so we had to do it TED Talk style. I had 12 minutes and 3, 2, 1, go, get up. We're at the Bird Theater, Richmond, Virginia. Super cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. Joel is one of the speakers. I got to be one of the speakers.
That's great. Yeah. I'm really excited. Joel is smashing right now. So he just put together... So obviously inside of Affiliate U, we do the business development, we do the coach development.
Right.
But then there was a gap that we had identified, which is people got stuff.
Yeah.
Particularly gym owners. If you're mm-hmm. watching this, you got shit you need to deal with. And Joel's really good at that.
Yeah.
And so he put together essentially like a 4-week course that we're just cycling people through.
Wow.
And it's really impactful because there's obviously certain roadblocks that we will come across with most gym owners. So let's just go over a couple. 1, time, mm-hmm. right? They have stories about time. 2, money.
Oh, yeah.
They have tons of stories about money. 3, identity, mm-hmm. right? They're not really sure who they are. They don't feel comfortable in their skin. Mm-hmm. And then 4, leadership, right?
Yeah.
So those are like the 4 big stories that we will have to like really navigate. And if we don't navigate them correctly, most gym owners will...
Probably keep self-sabotaging.
Or the general pattern is like something happens. There's an event that happens and they'll kind of go off the grid. Mm-hmm. And every time we're just like, dude, where's this person? They come back and they're like, well, this happened. And I'm like, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
Like, but I get it. Right. So when we started thinking about it, okay, well, how can we be preemptive mm-hmm. for those things? Like, how can we start to address these stories or whatever so that we can either reduce the impact the stories have mm-hmm. or prevent them altogether, at which point the gym owner will move significantly faster. So we're like, hey, we need to address like what's going on here and we need to reframe, redeliver, and optimize the delivery of the principles that we're teaching and provide more tools. So everything is an effort to speed up their progress
yeah.
while providing exponentially more value as we bring them in. And it's been really cool. Like the feedback that we've just gotten in, I think he's just wrapping up the first cohort maybe.
Cool.
Yeah. And people are like, dude, this is amazing. Like, so yeah, Joel's crushing. So anyway, we're not here to talk about Joel. Sorry, Joel. But back to the event. So you were speaking. What did you speak about?
So I told the story of how I picked a word, a symbol, and a teacup, and those three things saved my life. Mm-hmm. So the like 12-minute story to like 2-minute story is the night I got told I had cancer, I went into a mindset coaching exercise I do with my nutrition clients. Mm-hmm. I actually gave you a postcard before we started. And the analogy is, what's in your cup? Like if I bump your cup right here.
Please don't do that.
And yeah, coffee comes spilling out. It's because Fern put coffee in his cup. If I bump you and tea comes flying out, it's because you chose to put tea in there. Mm-hmm. So it's not about getting bumped because life is going to rattle you.
Right.
It's what you choose to put in you is what's going to spill out. And so words have a lot of power. Is it, you know, joy and happiness and courage and resiliency and, you know, whatever? Or is it like bitterness and anger and blaming and victim mentality? So the night before cancer, my cancer surgery, I sat down and I'm like, what are my words? And my big word was unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And the subsequent words were like love, courage, fearlessness, you know, resiliency. And I was like, okay, it's going to get bumpy. This is what's going to have to come out of me. And then the symbol.
So you want them to come out.
You want them to come out. Yeah. Okay. Like in all scenarios, like whether it's an easy time or a hard time, how am I showing up for myself? How am I showing up for other people?
That's cool.
Yeah.
So somebody could be listening to this and they're like, this just sounds like you standing in front of them with the mirror, just shouting affirmations at yourself, like Stuart Smalley or something like that from Saturday Night Live. But what?
It's more of like a quiet confidence. So it's like, okay, today is like a shit day. Everything's going wrong, but I'm handling it with love, with patience, with resilience, with courage, you know, with whatever. Whatever words like really speak to you.
Can I put anger in there? Like I'm just going to punch that shitty day in the face?
I mean, you can. Is that the best way to?
Nate knows how I roll. Like, I'm not gonna approach a shitty day with love. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
So that was the teacup.
Yep.
And then the symbol, if you've caught one of my other weird appearances on this show, is a Care Bear. So I literally dressed up as a Care Bear, I think the last time we filmed.
Yep.
And the Care Bear idea is, I always think about like, not only giving to others. So when I was a dietitian, I work a lot with eating disorder clients. And they need a lot of support because they're in a really low place. Mm-hmm. And I always would just think about, how do I make them feel heard, supported, cared for, valued, loved? And what was starting to happen in my nutrition practice is people would like come in dejected and they would just come out with their head high, a smile, like that human to human exchange of like, I just made this person's day better. I'm really proud of myself for being able to do that. And so I always gave this like private Care Bear love to people. And then when I got cancer, it was now the script was flipped and I had to actually be open to receiving. Every single human I'd ever interacted with did like the Care Bear stare. Mm-hmm. So they like linked arms and were like, we're going to help Jen get through this. She can't die yet. And I physically felt cancer dissolving and popping and dying. And I was like, there's love beams hitting me. And that's actually my chemo. Like it's wild and crazy. Right. And you can watch the whole story, but that's the symbol, is the Care Bear.
Okay.
And then the word is the night I got a phone call being like, you've got cancer. It's really bad. Mm-hmm. We'll call you back. The instant word when I hung up the phone was, I'm going to be unstoppable. Mm-hmm. So my story on stage, the Enlifted group, was how a teacup, a symbol, and a word saved my life.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't realize because I had spoken to Mark about it. I don't know when he invited us to. I think it might have been at the games. I don't remember. But I didn't realize it was such a large event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Mark's a little quirky, right? Like
a little
quirky. He has his like, I guess like private events at the house.
Yeah.
And then I didn't realize this one was like 100 people, and it was like
incredible.
Like a more formal event than we would typically be thinking about with Mark. So that's really cool. So what was the range of people at this event?
Oh my God, you get everyone, and that's what we were talking about. Is everyone is like weird and wacky and so different. We all have different coaching businesses, but the connection of just like vibing on your best, highest level,
right?
That was a commonality. And so even I was supposed to like hang out with you last night, and I was like, Fern, I can't come over. I'm in the right room with the right people having the right conversations.
Yeah.
I'm going to get up at 6 a.m. and drive here. And you're like, cool.
I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow.
So it was that on like steroids the whole weekend. It was like every conversation was like, you've just given me a nugget of gold that's going to change my life. And I have like 50 of those to go home and take action on.
So clearly there's some, Because I've been in those situations too, not that room, but I've been in similar rooms.
Yeah.
What are some of the common themes that you are kind of, I don't want to say experiencing, but that are like, it's kind of like if you have a series of actors on stage, and Nate will vibe with this because he's been in the acting world, but like one of them is the main actor, right? So you have these spotlights, right? And there's a ton of conversations going on, but then eventually like spotlight hits one person, like boom, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, I'm paying attention to that now. And it's kind of like that in those rooms. There's a lot of things happening on stage, but every once in a while, like, bam, the spotlight will just hit one particular thing.
Yeah.
And then you're just completely keyed into that. What were some of those things?
Oh, gosh. So last night, we're just like sitting around a campfire, chatting, you know, hanging out, and leverage in all different ways kept coming up. Like, how do we leverage our time? How do we leverage technology? How do we leverage
before we hit record?
Yeah. How do we leverage code? How do we leverage finances? And all these incredible ideas and all these different levers you can pull where you're like, boop, and it's like, boom.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I do this in my business, and they're like, my mind is blown. So like, as an example, I like to give specifics. I was like, I kind of got burnt out on sales calls for a while and I didn't have a really good replacement for me. So what I did is I just did a one-way voice memo talking to my ideal avatar, going through the pain points, taking them to the heaven, going through the typical objections, going then through the logistics, and then like dropping the price and saying like, here's how to work with us. And so I have some that are like 2 minutes, some that are 4 minutes, some that are 12, like a Chinese menu. I label them, this is like voice memo one, this is voice memo two. And then each one is labeled to an avatar.
Right.
And then I have an admin assistant. And so she knows how to like interpret the emails. And she's like, I'm going to attach a number four. And so what we do is we name the voice memos like first name, last name, voice memo from Jen with the date. It makes it sound like I got on my phone and was like talking to you personally.
Yeah.
I guess I'm giving away my secret, guys. It's a voice
I mean, there's
memo.
A lot of ways to do that. Like we have numerous variations of that set up.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain points in a communication sequence that I would want to be a real person.
Right.
There's certain points where it doesn't matter. And there's certain points when I can, if designed correctly, I can make it automated because it doesn't necessarily need to be personal.
Right.
But you can make it personal, which makes everything faster.
100%.
You got to get a little tech savvy for that. But,
yeah.
But the whole point is the leverage thing is really interesting. And I think a lot of people, I know I did, I'll speak for me. I misunderstood leverage.
Explain.
I didn't really understand. I mean, I understood like the definition of leverage, but in a practical or functional sense with regard to navigating society, I didn't really understand like how do I leverage other people? It's always just like, well, have other people do things for you. I was like, well, that is a form of leverage, or you can have like a group of people do things for you. Like that is leverage. But where I actually figured out, at least I think the ultimate leverage is knowing when to ask the right person the right question is like the ultimate leverage. So like if you think like what's the most valuable commodity on planet Earth? Number one is probably time, which you can leverage other people for time.
Yep.
Number two is probably information.
Yeah.
When we talk about this all the time, it came up at the mastermind endlessly. We talk about it all the time in Affiliate U. Most people's fears are due to lack of information. Right. So gym owner, you're thinking about like, hey, I'm freaking out at the end of the month because I my numbers are going to be down. I'm like, they might be not. But the point is, if I ask you a handful of questions, you probably can't answer them, which is why you're freaked out. Because even in a scenario where there was a downtrend, if you were armed with all the information about why there was a downtrend, you wouldn't be nearly as freaked out about it.
Oh, because I can take action on this and this and this.
Yeah, I'm now not a victim anymore.
Right.
And so I look at leverage as like, who here has information that I don't know? Like we were just going through this as a team last week because we were, anybody who's ever managed a sales team knows that like momentum is king, right? So if you are not managing your sales team, and even if you have a sales team of one, somebody who's handling their onboarding in the gym and they're getting whatever number more strikes than they would want,
right?
That starts to impact,
yeah,
that like how they start to perform. Like it's just a it's a psychological impact of sales. And so we were going through a series of just like we're not hitting the numbers, at which point it starts to weigh and people are like, this is dumb, this doesn't work. And I was like, it doesn't not work. What don't we know that is resulting in this outcome.
Right.
And then the point was, is like, we just weren't asking enough questions. We were just like, it doesn't work. So we're just like, victim, right? Like, this is the way that it is. And I was like, that's never the case.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, somebody knows how to do that.
Yeah. Someone's figured it out.
Somebody's figured it out. So who do I ask that has that? So called a couple people, got on the phone. They're like, hey, how do you do this? And I'm like, I do it this way. And they're like, I think you should try it this way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that makes more sense. And I'm thinking, I'm like, the team would actually prefer that version too.
Yeah.
I was like, let's reverse engineer it. Let's do it that way. I go talk to the team. And immediately they're like, yes, that feels way better. And I was like, okay, cool. So that, I think, information is the ultimate leverage. And I think most people are just sitting around feeling like a victim, not asking for help, right? So like asking questions, asking for help, like that is leverage, right? You get to learn one more thing and move yourself along the journey. And the more I do this, the longer I do this, the more I understand that there is virtually nothing in the CrossFit affiliate from a metric standpoint or something like that, that you cannot manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you can't manipulate it is because you don't understand it or don't know what you should be looking at. And that's like my whole thing right now. Just like how much information packaged the right way, delivered the right way, introducing secondary leverage is like, how do I make this easy? It's always hard on the front end, be like, because I got to figure out what I want. And then I got to figure out how do I make it easy to get the information.
Yeah.
Then I can double leverage that, right? I can leverage information and time now.
Yeah.
And then the third one is, okay, so I can get the information that I want faster. And then the third piece of leverage on top of that would be like, now I can teach three other people to do it.
Right.
And now I've got all three checked. And I'm like, great. Now we can go fast. Now I have now we can go faster. And everybody wins now.
Yeah.
Like the team wins because like they're getting wins. It creates more more stability in the business. They make more money. Mm-hmm. The business gets better. We can reinvest. Like all those things happen. But it all goes back to what piece of information are you not armed with? Because there is an answer to that.
Well, the most powerful question we did last night and just super organically came up is we're sitting around in a circle and we're like, tell me one thing in your business that you think you're really clever that you figured out that wouldn't be obvious to us. And like we have a collective cannabis person and we've got like, I'm in nutrition coaching and we have people running huge certs and whatever, right? And so everyone's like, if I think about my business, this is something really cool. I either like learned from someone else or I stumbled upon in a book or I taught myself. And everyone's like, whoa, like how you do that in your industry is so applicable to my industry.
Right.
But I never would have picked that up. And we just all went around and we're like, well, this is something cool I do. And so like, I'm going home. I'm like, I gotta do this and try this and that. But that was a neat question because it wasn't like, hey, solve my problem. I was like, tell me about something you worked through that you think is really like unique and special and just helpful.
Yeah.
And everyone just like so freely share it.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to pay like $50,000 to be in a mastermind.
Right.
I just went to an Unlifted event.
Right. But and that's kind of what I led the last mastermind. I was like, hey, ask more questions.
Yeah.
Like ask for help.
Yeah.
Like you'll get it.
Be vulnerable.
You will get the help that you're looking for, but you got
to
ask.
And I think you have to take your ego down too and just like be open to be like, maybe I don't have the best way. Or my way is okay, but someone might have tried something different and that could be good too.
I've gone back and forth on the ego thing. And I think for some people it's ego. For me, it was for sure ego. And I see it in two flavors, if you will. One is ego. The other one is shame. I think they manifest themselves the same way.
Yeah.
And the result is I don't ask for help. So it's kind of like, does it matter which one? Kind of, because you're going to need to unpack that and resolve that, or you're going to have to wrestle that monster. But the what's important is the result or the outcome is the same, which is you don't ask for help. So either I'm like, I know what I'm doing and I'm too proud to ask for help, or like, I'm fucking don't know what I'm doing and I'm embarrassed to acknowledge that to the world. And that is, I don't know, I'm not a psychologist, but like, so that is probably some level of ego, right?
Yeah.
I look at it a little bit differently. So I look at them as ego and shame. And I've had both. And they're both, they're both result in the same silly nonsense, which is, you know, affiliate owners just live that quiet life of desperation. And they're just like, well, I guess this is just my reality and I'm just going to live this way. When it's like, no, man, it's not at all the way it has to be.
Yeah.
And that's really it's the whole reason we do what we do. It's just like, that does not have to be your reality. Like you can fix all of those things. You can live like the best life. Like I can think of nothing. Like you're doing one of the most important things on planet Earth, which
100%.
Is like reversing chronic disease and like making people healthy, functional human beings. So I'm like,
yeah,
that can be a good life for you.
Mm-hmm.
So
Well, I want to riff off that a little bit. Okay. I want to talk about something called the iceberg of success.
Okay.
So I started.
Like we talked about this a little bit, or maybe not. Maybe you did on the grad call. Maybe
I think
not.
I did with one of your private calls for your students. But it started with just kind of my own students being so stuck in their own shame and heads. And then they're like, but no, like, just tell me the information. Like, it's the information that I don't have. And so I sat down and on like legit a scrap piece of paper. Mm-hmm. At first, I just drew the top three things, which was willpower, knowledge, habits. At the time, I wasn't even aware of how important the environment and the mindset was. I was like, I think you're stuck because you are trying to be rammy. You're like, I got to learn about like nutrition on the internet, mm-hmm. whether it's like keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, whatever. And then you're like, I just have to like have the iron willpower that like I'm going to follow the food rules.
Right.
And then you fall off because like it's boring, it's not sustainable. But then you go back to the internet and you're like, well, that must have not been the right information. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go find the right information. I'm going to like knuckle it. And so I was like, you know, it's really like your automatic habits or like where things are. You want to like it to be like your seatbelt or brushing your teeth, just things that you have muscle memory and you do. And for a year, I only taught the top three levels. Mm-hmm. And I was like, shit, I am missing two more really important levers of behavior change.
Right.
And in fact, I'm going to teach you bottom to top. So the first thing I go into.
It's really interesting you're doing this because I'm reading a book that talks a lot about this whole process.
Are you? Yeah. Amazing. So the mindset. So we have all those self-sabotaging thoughts. Well, I blew it. So today's over. Or I'm going to start Monday. Or mm-hmm. I'm going to start when after my vacation's over. Or once things settle down. Or once the holidays are done. Another really slippery mindset that people don't recognize as a self-sabotaging. I deserve it. Like I worked really hard or like I've been really good. And so they're like, they justify the glass of wine, the treat, the takeout, whatever. So I have a lot of clients that like get mm-hmm. trapped in the whole, I deserve it or the, I blew it. But also you can flip mindset to positive self-talk and not like rah, rah in the mirror, but more like, hey, what's the best I can do where I am with what I have? Like mm-hmm. I'm on a road trip. What's the best I can do to stay hydrated and eat well and work out?
What's good enough?
What's good enough?
Right.
Totally. Another one I like to use is like better is better, forward is forward, because people often wait till they get the big, hairy, audacious goals. But like,
we do this
all the time.
It's funny you're talking about this. That we do have, I have like microcosms of that exact scenario in level twos.
Yeah.
When I'm watching an athlete a coach work with an athlete and they're like trying their, and then I'm like, is it better than when you started?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, then take your toys and go home.
Yeah.
Stop chasing perfect in that singular moment because it's highly unlikely, number one. But you're just wasting time right now.
Yeah.
Like, move on. You're like, you got what you asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of got greedy, or you like you were just ignorant to the fact you're like, you're not going to get that far today.
Yeah.
All you were going to get was that. So just take it and
take
move
your
on.
Win.
Yeah, take your win and move on.
100%. So what's so cool is the first nutrition appointment, I don't talk about food first. I literally go into the thoughts. And then I use a metaphor that's so sticky. And I use this a lot on podcasts, but I'll say it again here because coaches, you can just take this and like run with it. I'm going to ask you some questions about brushing your teeth.
Okay.
So did you brush your teeth last night?
Yes.
I did too.
Actually, no.
Okay, that's perfect.
Super late and I forgot.
That's okay. Perfect.
I didn't mean to lie. Sorry.
Right?
Like, I know that's gross.
We've all.
I was working level two. I drove home.
Gonna back
I like,
away
got
from
home,
you.
Like ate dinner and I was just like, I don't know. I did shower before I got in bed.
Yeah.
Though, so.
Yeah, you had a late travel day.
Yeah.
So tell me how you're going to react today to not brushing your teeth last night. How are you going to respond?
Well, I just do what I always do, which is brush my teeth in the morning.
There you go. Did you call yourself names and have that inner bully really rip you down over that?
It didn't even cross my mind.
Didn't even cross your mind. Are you going to like not brush your teeth all week and be like, well, screw it. You know, if I'm going to be bad, now I guess I'm going to be real bad and get them all fuzzy and Monday of next week, you're going to fix it.
No.
No. Would you call your dentist and squeeze in an appointment today?
I should, but I'm not going to.
No, like absolutely not. That's a huge overreaction. So notice what you did is you like brush it off. There's no inner bully. There's no shame, which is interesting that there's no shame in the inner dialogue. And the muscle memory is like, just go back and do it again. Like do the good thing as soon as you can get back on track. The secret though, so the habit is brushing your teeth. The mindset was like, it's no big deal. I can fix it right away. But I want you to think about your environment with your toothbrush. I would wager $1 million bet that if I was a toothbrush robber, weird career, don't actually do that, and I broke in your house, I would just beeline to your master bath and be like, your toothbrush is either like on the counter in some holder or it's in some kind of medicine cabinet.
Mine's locked in a safe.
Imagine if like Chappie like went around every night and he grabbed your toothbrush and like one day it was in like your running
shoe.
You'd
be shocked at the places we'll find that boy's toothbrush.
Right?
So.
Like it's like Elf on the Shelf. It's just constantly moving around. Like,
what is this?
Or if you had to make like toothpaste from scratch every night, do you think you'd be your level of consistency?
I wouldn't even know where to start with toothpaste.
Right? Toothpaste. So where most people fail is they don't think about the environment. To me is like train tracks. Every day, if I shape my environment, I pound train tracks into the ground and I put the train on the tracks, train's going to go where I want it to go.
Right.
And a lot of people like put the train on the ground and they're like, why isn't the train like going in the direction I want? And I was like, your environment are these invisible tracks that constantly pull you in. So if I have water beside me, I'll drink water through this podcast. If I, you know, have vegetables cut up in your fridge, and I can vouch that you guys have a really good fridge setup. You guys eat really well because you have someone that like helps prepare that. If you're just flying by the seat of your pants and there's no healthy options anywhere, you're not going to be as consistent.
Here is what I think is interesting. And this goes back to the book that I'm reading right now, which is, we'll kind of relate this to sales a little bit, but the point is, for anybody that has, well, cause this will be 100% applicable to gym owners.
Yeah.
So every gym owner has had a scenario in which somebody comes in for a consult, whatever you want to call that sales opportunity when they come in, they're like, I'm interested in starting CrossFit. And where the sale goes sideways is they start to coach, right? So in that scenario that you just outlined, starting to coach would be like, all right, you're going to chop up the food and you're going to put it in here and you're going to do all these things and blah, blah, blah. You're going to go through the details.
Knowledge.
The knowledge, right? Like, and where we're, because you're, when you start to coach, it, when you should be essentially like selling, and whether you're selling an actual a product or an idea is where there will be a disconnect.
Yeah.
So you don't sell or you don't teach.
Right.
You have to have that mindset shift. I have to,
totally.
I have to get you to understand a principle. So in that scenario, the principle would be like, if you craft your environment to do the things you want to do, you will naturally get into that state.
Right.
At which point they're like, oh, that makes sense. Like I'll consider doing it now. But it's just like, hey, you need to chop up these food. You need to put it in the refrigerator. You need to make sure you organize your house this way. Everybody's just like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And a perfect example that we also have is, so we have our Bring a Friend Week mini course, which you haven't downloaded, download it. But here's what's interesting. Some huge percentage of people never actually do it. And it's been downloaded like 1,500 times.
Wow.
It's a lot. Like, so these 1,500 gym owners.
Good
like,
intentions.
Or, more, or 15% of the CrossFit community like has access to this thing.
Right.
And it fucking works.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, why don't they finish it? We made a mistake. Fully acknowledged. We were like, hey, do all of this stuff. And it's a step-by-step process. I mean, it's done for you.
Yeah.
And, but the people, and then we started looking at the people that do execute it are the people that understand why we do it that way simply by because they have listened to us speak about it and the why and the how you would do it so many times in the podcast. So they understand the concept and they're just like, this is totally going to work.
Right.
And then I'm like, here you go.
Here's the information now.
And then they go execute it. And I get 2 to 3 emails a week. They're like, dude, this crushed. We had 18 people come in, 9 of them joined, or I had 50 people come in, 22 of them joined. And a lot of these people are not even our clients. And I'm like, great, good for you, man. Like, that was the point. But that's a perfect example of that, which is like,
you rush the knowledge.
You rush the knowledge, which is like, hey, I just have to reframe how you think about this. And I have to like change your belief system around it simply by saying, like, hey, if you, there is an easy way to get, call it 60 to 90 warm leads in your gym every year that you will have a very, very high likelihood to convert, call it 15 to 40%. That is a real thing that will cost you virtually no money and a minimal amount of time, right? And then would that change your affiliate?
Right.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, now I'll do it because they understand like what the desired outcome.
The mindset.
Mindset because they have a limiting belief or they have a false belief that is just like, it's not going to work, right? Like referrals are garbage. there's no way people are going to take me up on this.
Right.
And it's just not true because we've tested it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times at this point and it works. But if you don't buy in on the first idea, which is like, that limiting belief you have is actually not true. That's just the way you think, probably because you don't have enough information, but I can't do those out of order.
Right.
Right. I have to give you that first thing is just like, hey, this is what you believe now. This is actually how it works.
Right.
And you're like, oh, okay, cool. Now I'm open to the idea. Give me more information.
Well,
and then I try it.
I'm going to pull two words that you just said. I don't know if you noticed that you said them. You said minimal and easy.
Correct.
And so I think any good coach knows that if you information vomit and you give the whole thing all at once, like you could take your whole amazing program and vomit all over people.
Everybody.
you actually won't help them. They're going to back away like a deer in the headlight and be like, well, I can't take action on this because it's too much. And so I'm sure you guys have done this, and this is what we do in nutrition. You have to chunk it down to the smallest unit of action. And I just think of it like a marble. If I can get a marble rolling, it can turn into a boulder. And then I also, this is my maybe weird style of coaching, I like to leave a sticky metaphor. Mm-hmm. So I talk a lot in analogies because people remember their analogies.
You know who's the best at this in the world?
Who's that?
Russell Brunson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
He calls it, it's like. When you learn to master the it's like analogies, this is when you can change everything. So anybody that's doing nutrition or like fitness consults, the analogies here. So you're not teaching, right?
Right.
Be like, it's like this.
Da-da-da.
And then people are like, oh, that is what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I drop one here?
Please.
Okay. So for you coaches, I call this the drawer of death. Mm-hmm. Most people do not think of their vegetable crisper as a drawer of death. But if we look at it, what happens? We come home with groceries. We have the best intentions, right? We're going to eat them, put them in the crisper. Some come out and end up inside of us. And then some rot this slow, slimy, terrible death. And then every week we throw it out and we feel bad.
Are you murdering your vegetables?
Are you PSA.
Yeah.
Please stop killing your vegetables.
Stop killing your vegetables.
In the drawer of death. So what I did.
I'm like an executioner in my home. I'm like, hey, let's go see who we're murdering in the vegetable tray today, kids. Yeah. Anybody going to take those celery sticks out? No.
But as soon as you think of your vegetable drawer like that, you're like, oh, crap. Yeah, that does happen. So then I'd lead it into like, what's the next smallest option?
So many ideas about this with my kids. I'm like, let's save the vegetables today, kids.
And yeah. So when I was in university, I was taking a psychology class and learning about behavior change, and our prof dropped the idea of anchoring. And anchoring is when you glue a habit to something that absolutely happens. Mm-hmm. So a good example would be if you sit in your car and you're about to drive, you've probably anchored wearing your seatbelt to driving. If I'm going to wash my hair with shampoo, I just follow it up with conditioner. So I don't put conditioner in my hair if I didn't shampoo it first.
Right.
It just, they're glued together. So I give an example of anchoring with the drawer of death. When you come home with groceries, you put them away, right? Mm-hmm. You never just leave them on the counter for 5 hours. I'm like, ugh, I'll get to that in 5 hours from now.
Right.
So as you're putting chicken and fruit and veggies away, why not just wash your vegetables that very second, put them in a container, like normally I put a paper towel on the bottom for moisture control, chop up peppers and carrots and whatever, put them in there, front and center, pop in a lid, and it's now just a part of unloading groceries. Mm-hmm. And it takes 5 minutes. And so as an example, I'm going to show you like a real life client. She was like, oh, I count my calories. And I was like, I'm going to make this so damn simple. Mm-hmm. So we talked about like taking her plate and trying to get a half plate of veggies about the size of her hand, lunch and dinner. And she had failed online tracking. I'm like, we are going to do this old school, or you can do it in your phone. But we just did a check mark to be like, I had vegetables one time today. Mm-hmm. I had vegetables again today. Check, check. And then every time she just made her veggie bucket, all she had to do was put a VB down to be like, chop my veggies. And then we were working on getting her off an afternoon soda, trying to have a water before she came to like a 5 o'clock CrossFit class. So she had done all the like high knowledge approaches to lose weight. None of it worked. And I was like, I'm going to make it the minimum effective dose. And so like an excited kid at the end of the month, she's like, Jen, like, I have so much energy. I'm already down 5 pounds. Mm-hmm. And then with curiosity, we kind of looked at the pattern. We celebrated the wins. The only way she was a little bit inconsistent with her veggies was the weekend she was away, didn't make her veggie bucket. So then month two, we kind of progressed in the nutrition coaching relationship. And she's like, I'm really getting value just tracking the veggies twice a day.
Can you see this, Nate?
Okay. We can zoom in. We can take a picture if we need it. But we now were like, well, protein's now the next important step of the puzzle. So I didn't overwhelm
her. For anybody that's listening to the podcast, Jen is showing a worksheet. It's essentially a calendar with a bunch of checks and what looks like smiley faces. But
yeah, exactly. So each time she had like a protein source, and that's where I introduced that little piece of information.
Right.
She just had to add a dot. And then we were working on some stress reduction. So each time she went on an after dinner walk, instead of like sitting down to Netflix and stress eating. And so this is a really neat example where I start with a sticky metaphor. I teach her the iceberg of success. I get in the headspace of the toothbrush of like, show me your toothbrush rep. That's all I want to see. And if you miss a rep, brush your teeth the very next box.
Right.
And so people can see a missed rep is not like a catastrophic end to momentum in the week. And I do this digitally with people too.
This sounds silly though, right? So I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm looking at this.
Yeah. What do you see as a coach?
A lot of work.
Do you?
I do.
And how so?
Just meaning like and this is just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, so,
and
please
now,
do.
Now I understand that this is not where you started. You'd be like, hey, man, have you filled out this worksheet?
Yeah.
But, and this is, that's immediate. So like, and this goes actually more to your point, which is like the order with which you go through this matters, right? Because you kind of 100% sold her the idea first and you're like, and then she's like, yes, I would like to do that. Now let's fill out this worksheet.
So choose your own adventure.
Right.
It starts completely blank and it might be like, what is one small step forward that would take you 5 minutes or less in your day that you could say yes to?
Right.
And so that's kind of that like easy minimum effective dose, but I have no like order that I go through the nutrition behavior change. And that I think is different than a lot of coaches because they're like on our program in appointment one, we're going to talk about this. Then we're going to go through this topic.
So a similar example for gym owners would be know your numbers. Everybody's just like, oh, I know you know my numbers. But then if you try to have them fill out spreadsheets, everybody freaks out and they end up not doing it.
Right.
So A, we have to get them to understand, be like, hey, the reason that you're failing in your business is because you don't understand your numbers. Mm-hmm. However, I went through that and then I found out that you can manipulate your business if you know your numbers and you can drive whatever metric that you want, revenue, retention, Google reviews, coach attendance for their classes, like all of those things can be manipulated. Mm-hmm. And when you do those things, you get the outcomes that you want. People are like, oh shit, okay, cool.
Yeah. Mindset
and,
first.
Right, and then it's just like, okay, well, then the question becomes, okay, well, tell me what I should track. And I'm like, cool, do this. Now, this is where the hang up happens, is because they don't either know where to find that information, and then it's creating the habit to do that.
Yeah.
So when we have people start doing that, I tell them, I'm like, I don't care if you miss numbers. I don't care. I just want you to input what you can every week. Don't even worry about interpreting it because it's number one, it's probably inaccurate. Mm-hmm. Number two, interpretation comes after
the habit of consistently
accurately,
tracking something.
Accurately getting the information in there. And I said, we'll do this for like 1 to 2 months, maybe. You'll start to figure out some things, and then I'm going to help you plug the gaps in here.
Right.
But everybody has to go through that because all they see is a spreadsheet and more work.
It's overwhelming.
Without having to understand and be like, oh, the reason I'm having this problem is because I don't have the information.
Yeah.
If I did have the information, I could drive any one of those metrics any way that I wanted. And shit, even just purely, if I didn't even tell you anything, if I just gave you a series of numbers and I said, this direction is good, this direction is bad, and you looked at it every week, eventually you would start, like human nature would take over and be like, I don't like that number. You wouldn't even know why.
Yeah.
I want to drive that number in the other direction.
Yeah.
And then you would start doing things that would like start alignment. to move the needle. And like a basic example would be, I heard, there's two ways you could talk about this, right? So I travel a lot. We were talking about this like before.
Yeah.
I travel a lot. I'm on a 9-week stretch of traveling every weekend. It's like, I don't know how many days it is, but it's a lot. And when I get home, the first thing I do is unpack my suitcase and I put everything away immediately. It doesn't matter what time it is. Does not matter, whatever. Now, some people are like, you're a sociopath. Maybe. But why, right? It's not be like, oh, you're hyper-organized. And it's like, nope. I actually never did that until about 2 to 3 years ago. I just leave shit everywhere.
Yeah. I actually do what you do. The moment I get home, everything gets unpacked.
But here's why. So the reason was I was listening to somebody talk, and he said, I travel a lot, and I never want my children to associate suitcases with daddy works a lot.
Mm-hmm. Like when you're home, you're instantly back home and clicked in with your family.
Right. But I was, because think like I grew up and I was like, suitcases are like, we're going on a trip.
Vacation.
Let's go somewhere. Yeah. And I thinking about that, I was traveling and I unintentionally.
The messaging,
which is subtle and completely kind of subconscious.
Right.
Like ruin.
Right.
That.
Yeah.
Opportunity for those kids to look at that and be like, oh, we're going on a trip.
Right.
But had you told me like, hey, you need to go home and you need to unpack your suitcase because like, that's just what like successful people do. I would have never done that. But I was just like, oh, the outcome is this could have a negative impact on my children.
And your why is so clear.
Why? So I'm like,
so clear.
So I don't ever want my kids to look at a suitcase and be like, dad travels a lot.
Right.
I want them to look at a suitcase and be like, we're going on vacation. Like this is going to be great.
This is a good thing.
So I have no problem 1 a.m. unpacking my shit, putting it all away.
Yeah.
And because I know why I'm doing it, because I do travel a lot.
Yeah.
But that's a perfect example.
That's the iceberg, beautifully. Right,
have you done them?
Giving you the information, you should do it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and I think it's just, and I'm hoping some of those stories like help people understand like why these things are important.
Yeah.
And, but that stuff is really impactful because that is the game that we're in, whether it's nutrition or fitness. I'm going to have to shift your belief first.
And I think that's such a good point. Like for you coaches, if I were to go back and like admit something that I used to do completely backwards and wrong, I used to try to do like the cheerleading information coaching where it's like, I'm going to get you excited. I'm going to give you all this information, beautiful packages, boom, boom, boom. And you can get people motivated for a very short period of time. And I'd say like the shelf life of that is like 2 to 4, maybe 6 months. And then I was so defeated because I was like, I am this great coach. I'm so smart. I've taken all these certs. I care about my clients. And maybe you're a coach and you can relate. You're like, what am I doing wrong? Why can't I keep people around long term? I'm a good person who cares. And then I was like, because I'm making it about me wanting to give them as much information to help them. I'm not taking any time to ask them questions so they can reflect and explore and understand their deeper whys. And if they understand their whys and I understand their whys, then I can genuinely coach them the right way with the right information at the right time.
Yeah.
And there's a timing element to doling out that information. But if you blow past the why, you could have the best information in the world and it will fall flat.
Yeah, it won't matter. It won't matter. And
I love your suitcase story because the why came first and then the information.
The why always has to come first.
100%.
And that's where we all make the mistake and we just try to coach everybody. And the reality is like you can only coach or teach after the why. Well, effectively coach or teach after the why.
Yeah.
Because once they buy in on the why, they're like, now give me the information.
Yes.
But before
I'm ready for it.
Right. But before, if you put the why behind the information, what you will be met with is skepticism. Always.
Yeah.
Because what you haven't addressed is like, what is their current belief? Right. So whatever information that you're giving them, they're going to be like, yeah, that's not really going to work for me. Like I've got special circumstances.
I'm a snowflake.
Whatever. Yeah. And you're never going to get past that. Like it's an impenetrable wall unless you put the why in front of that, at which point the wall starts to crack.
Yeah.
And then I can start, and then I can get into some of the analogies that like, it's kind of like whatever. And then each time you throw one of those in there, you start to crack the wall a little bit more and a little bit more. And then eventually they're like, tell me how to do this. And I'm like, great. Now we can get to the information. Let's start tomorrow.
Giddy up.
And that is actually what makes coaching and teaching or even sales, because they're all kind of the same thing.
Yeah, they are.
Significantly easier and more importantly, much more fun. Because you're like, oh, I don't have to give you this full body of information.
Right.
I just got to crack you just a little bit.
Yeah.
So that you're open to the idea. And then you're going to come to me about like, why?
And for coaches, like if you slow down the information, you keep people around longer, which is good for them and good for business.
Right.
Because they can execute fully on that little piece of information you've given. And then when they're ready for fresh information and fresh new action, you've got more to give them. Versus I have nutrition coaches that come to me and they're like, I kind of took them through my 3-month onboarding process. What am I supposed to talk to them? I've told them all the things. Like they should be drinking water. They should be having their protein. They should be eating more veggies. I told them all the things and they're not doing them and I don't know how to help them.
Right.
And I'm out of topics.
Yeah, they haven't gone through the full story arc, right? So anybody that has heard the hero's journey.
Oh, yeah.
The hero's, I think it has like 17 actual steps to it, but you can condense it down to about 7, I think. But understanding like how and I know somebody's going to go read the hero's journey, be like, oh, I'll just do this. And it's like, you're going to need to walk through that exercise many, many, many times before you really start to understand it. And you could do it seamlessly. It's very difficult, particularly if you have not sorted out your own
stories.
Once you sort out your own stories, like it's like reading the Matrix. You're like, oh, yeah, shit, you have stories and you got stories and like all sorts of crazy stuff. And then you can learn to reverse engineer those and say, okay, cool. Like that person definitely needs my help and wants my help. They're just in their own way. So how do I move them out of the way so that I can help them resolve whatever the problem is?
Yeah.
And it's like, what we want to do is just like burst right through the wall and be like, hey, if you just work out 3 to 5 times a week and eat, you know, nuts and seeds, vegetables, you know, some fruit, little starch, no sugar, you'll solve all your problems. And they're like, cool story, but I'm special, so I'm not really going to do that. Because we skipped several steps in that whole process.
Yeah.
And the people that are easy sales or easy conversions, whatever you want to look at it, they're like already gotten there. They got there without you.
Yeah.
Most people are...
need a skilled coach.
They need you to get to that point.
100%.
This is why it's always funny. CrossFit affiliate owners at large, they're like, I'm good at sales. Like we close like 90%. I'm like, fucking everybody closes 90% in the CrossFit affiliates. Like, if the person took the time to walk into your gym, they're buying. And I've said this before, unless you just take a huge dump on the floor when they're there. Right? Like, they're buying. Like, if they don't buy when you showed up, when they showed up, you messed up.
100%.
They had already made the decision. You actually convinced them not to. Mm-hmm. And this is where it went. A really good example of this is that when people transition from organic lead generation to paid lead generation.
And they're like, what's going on?
Like, why won't anybody buy? I'm like, oh, you don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
And I know because I've lived that life.
Right.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
It is completely not the same. It's like apples and
monkeys.
Steak. Right. Like, monkeys. Like, not even food anymore. Potentially food. But the... And understanding, like, those people that came in, they've already gotten through many of the steps, and they're like, hey, I'm here for the information. Mm-hmm. Those other people, typically when you get into the paid, were like, they need a change in belief.
Yes.
So if you just start right at the information, it sucks.
Yeah.
You're just like, nobody's buying anything. Yeah. And you're like, why? And I was like, oh, well, going back to it, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Right? So then leverage.
Yes.
Who does know what they're doing? Anybody here close at a ridiculous rate? And like, oh, yeah, I do. I close over there. And I'm like, cool. Can you tell me what you do?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I do this, this, this. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'll try that. And I'll continue to iterate over time. But those are all just like little like tiny versions of that.
And I feel like we're having such an interesting full circle conversation because it started with sort of that ego or shame of like, I'm going to put my hand up and say, who's better than me? Like, I always use the phrase, success leaves clues.
Right.
So if I'm looking to get better at something, where's the most successful person I can go find that information from? But I have to understand my deeper why and work through my stories of where am I feeling a block? And, you know, is it okay for me to go ask for help from someone else? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, love it.
So tell me about what you got going on now.
Yeah. So I have a certification company called Prosper Nutrition Coaching. It was born out of us having a nutrition center in our CrossFit gym. Mm-hmm. So my husband and I had CrossFit of London for 16 years as an affiliate. Mm-hmm. And we just accidentally, but now I know the reason behind the accidentally, we're so successful. And then our city just started flocking to our CrossFit gym for nutrition coaching. And that turned into a certification company born out of the pandemic. So in Canada, everything got massively shut down.
I hadn't heard.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And like our nutrition program was still like this huge profit center, even though like our fitness component was basically like non-existent. Mm-hmm. And so I had a bunch of gyms be like, what are you doing for your nutrition? Because we also do nutrition, but we have like 3 to 7 people on the program. Like it's not really a thing. And we have like 30 new clients a month, month after month after month. Like we have a base of like 400 to 500 active clients that my team fulfills. Mm-hmm. And we coach off of habit-based mindset, environment design coaching, a step at a time, doling out the information, doing some story work, working through those mindset blocks. And so I had a gym owner be like, can my coach be like a fly on the wall? Like, can they just come watch you? Like, what are you doing that?
It's kind of like when Glassman started seminars. We're like, hey, you doing a seminar? And he was just like,
just come watch me.
Yeah. Yes. Next week.
Yeah. And so then it became like, get on camera and like actually turn this into videotaped modules. And it turned into 300 gyms that have like certified their coaches to be like, we want to get better at this. We want to make it our own. Of course, we try to help you individualize it, but it's like, take all the resources, hear me teach all the analogies and games, do a lot of it's like on camera, and then go have fun with it. And then introduce this, like refresh this with your members and also expand your mindset. This is going to grow outside your box. Mm-hmm. So don't just think this is a nutrition program just for your gym members. Think bigger.
Right.
How can you actually bring nutrition to your community? Mm-hmm. And we give like workplace wellness talks and handouts and presentations. And so what's so cool is this ripple effect. And I've had now gyms go through it where a coach gets certified and then, you know, helps a member lose a lot of weight. And then that member's like, I'm going to go get certified and join that gym's coaching team.
Right.
And I have like, you know, members impacted from the certification who now are like certified coaches. So basically I'm just certifying coaches and gyms to help them get way better at nutrition coaching.
What is one of the biggest hangups for CrossFit gyms? Because I'm sure, I'm assuming you work with any, not just CrossFit gyms.
Yeah.
We only work with CrossFit gyms.
Right.
What is one of the biggest hangups for CrossFit gyms in launching a nutrition program?
It is the story in their head about time of like, oh, I know this is important. It's a important but never urgent problem. Mm-hmm. So the can gets kicked down the road. They're like, you know what? It's open season. I can't take this on mentally. I'll do this maybe after the open. Mm-hmm. Ugh, you know what? We're doing a little reno. My brain's kind of like tied up in that. And so they think getting a nutrition program has to be this huge, scary, overwhelming, I'm starting a second business. And I'm like, no, you're complementing what you're already doing. And this takes
I'll push back a little bit. You are starting a second business.
Okay, fair. It is a slightly different model than fitness, but you are sitting on a gold mine. Like you're
there
on an opportunity.
Agree. There we agree.
Yeah, to add tons to your average client value. But it's not as hard, like it's not a hard business model. Like nutrition coaching isn't, it doesn't
not,
have.
It's not complex.
Not complex would maybe be a good way.
But it can be hard. Right. Simple, not easy kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like you don't need to have a ton of technology, a ton of equipment, a ton of space. Like you can have
you don't need any of those.
You know, this tiny, like you need a computer and an internet connection and like you can get going. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of like, you don't have to build resources. We have all of that for you. Not sure what to say. We've got tons of modules to like give you talking points. So that's why I guess I say I don't see it as that complicated of a business model.
I think you probably think of it that way because you have a level of unconscious competence
probably
going on in there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard.
Good call out. Yeah.
And that's,
but I would say that's the biggest thing is like the kick the can down the road because they can't get their head around. Is it the right time? Just like we have those fitness clients that are like, oh, I should get back into the gym, but like, it's just not the right season in my life right now. And it's like, there's no better time to start imperfectly than right now.
Yeah. And I've had Nicole, who you know, she and I have gone back and forth, and she's like, oh, and I was like, listen, I understand what you're saying. I do think there is a little bit of order of operations, which is if I am, it's kind of like being in a burning house. Mm-hmm. You're like, hey, you know what you should do is you should, you know, like you should really think about how you installed all these fire, these smoke alarms. And it's just like, I get what you're saying, but it'd probably be better if I just had access to a fire extinguisher at this point.
Yeah.
So it's not like a huge shift, but I do think it is a subtle shift, which is there are certain things that I think need to get organized first because however simple it might be, it is going to require time, energy, and resources.
Yeah.
How much is a relative term?
My way I like to frame it is like assign a quarter, like pick a quarter in your business year and be like this quarter,
not a quarter.
Like Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4 and be like this quarter, we are going to really tighten up and dominate our nutrition
presence. I'm fully on board with that.
And if you can think of it as like in 3 months, we're going to give this a really good go and I can get this off this ground or like revitalized. If you have something that's like not doing super well, that's usually all it takes is one focus quarter.
Right.
And you build something out of floundering.
I do both of those. I operate now in we operate in monthly goals.
Focuses?
Yeah. Not necessarily focus. It's more project based.
Okay.
Meaning like, hey, we're gonna do these three things this month.
Yeah.
And kind of like how I started becoming a reader. I am a reader now. I was
identity chef. I like
it. I think I might have told this story in the podcast. Like this is not a joke. I graduated from the Naval Academy in 2004. I never, ever, ever read a book.
Since then?
Nope. Until after I graduated. Until my senior year in college. Like, I know how to read.
Of course. Right? Yes.
But I never read a book.
Huh.
Like never in my life. I never read a book. I might read a couple pages here and there. And then I said, how would I like, I know reading is good. Mm-hmm. I know like being smarter is not a bad thing.
Right.
How would I read X amount of books a year?
Right.
I said, well, I would read 10 pages a day.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me try 10 pages a day. So I have been abiding by that rule for probably close to a decade at this point.
Awesome.
To the point where I wrote a blog about this at our gym, and it's just like, I think it was titled, My Wife Bought Me a Bookshelf.
Oh.
And and that was part of the identity shift.
Yeah. Because readers have books on bookshelves.
Right. Well, I had so many books.
Yeah.
She was like, you need a bookshelf, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you got to put all this
shit. You can't just, stack them up on the floor.
She's like, you're not in college anymore. Yeah. You're like, get your mattress off the floor.
Yeah, exactly. You
know?
Aren't wives great?
Yeah. So she bought me a bookshelf, and I was like, oh, I'm a reader.
Yeah.
I read a lot of books. People are like, have you read all these books? I'm like, every one of them.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, how do you start to make those subtle shifts? And it's like, well, you do them like little tiny steps at a
time. Minimum effective dose.
Yeah,
like
minimum effective dose. So it's kind of like that. Where it's just like, you have to, what's the outcome that I'd be looking for? Mm-hmm. And what would be the minimum effective dose that I could start executing on? And then, so I took that and then I rolled it over to like, okay, well, if I wanted to, you know, take whatever, 25 to 36 projects annually and take them from idea to implementation, what would that look like? It would look like 2 to 3 a month.
Yeah.
Probably going to miss on a handful of these. Who cares?
That's okay.
So if I hit 30, I'm like, okay, well, I'm 30 projects further down the road than I was last year.
Better is better. Forward is forward.
Better is better.
Yeah.
And it's been really helpful. And then I also looped into some accountability. So I brief the team on all of those projects every month.
Cool.
So if I don't get a project complete, I have to tell the team. I'm like, we got to push this project over a month.
Right.
And we'll roll it into the next month. And I can. There might be, what are we in, October now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can think of maybe like 3 or 4 that I've had to push maybe either once or twice.
It's not too bad.
No. And it's a little annoying, but I'm like, I will get there.
Yeah.
There's been one that's been like fucking hanging on me. And I just got part of it back today. And I was like, yes. I'm like, this is the shit. But going back to numbers and leverage, actually.
Yeah.
But that was a big one. But I don't worry about it. It's kind of like the toothbrush thing,
yeah.
Like, hey, we didn't get to it. Great.
I'll keep plugging away.
We'll get it in next month.
It's not like I failed. I'm such a bad person. I suck as a business owner.
Right.
Like the bully's just not there.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, I do that in a lot of different ways now. Mm. And because the goal is like, I want to have a better gym at the end of this year than I did at the end of last year.
Yeah.
And that doesn't always mean more members or revenue, if that makes sense.
It totally does.
Because
it's a higher quality business every year.
Or just easier, right? Yeah. Like, so what if you had, let's make numbers up. If you had a gym that ran $40,000 a month that required, I don't know, 15 hours of your, fuck it, 25 hours a week of your time.
Mm-hmm.
And you made, I don't know, $6,500 a month.
Okay.
What if you got to the next year, still have a gym that runs $40,000 a month, and it now requires 5 hours of your time a
week?
I'm like, That's a better business. It's a better business, even though if you looked just at the numbers, you'd be like, it's the same. And I'm like, it's not at all the same.
Yeah.
It's not at all the same. It's like you do Fran at 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're like, that fucking hurt.
Yeah.
But I can do it at 3:30.
Right.
I'm like, that doesn't really feel that bad. And I'm like, you're fitter.
I
can walk. I can say my name at the end of that. And like, there's a difference there. And sometimes affiliate owners come in and all they look at is like higher, more, better. And I'm like, sometimes the answer is easier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do the same amount that you're doing right now, but it should be easy.
Yeah.
Once you do that, now let's talk about more. Because a lot of people just go more and
then their systems break.
Right. And their systems break. So it goes more, easier, better, more, right? And you just keep iterating on that.
Yeah.
And right now, when I consider us to be in a phase of easier, like how do we make things easier?
Yeah.
Because then I for sure want to do more.
Right.
But you got to do easier first. And easier can be, is both for me, but then easier is also for the team too. Like, how do I make their lives easier?
Right.
Because it can't just be me.
Right.
And we talk
winning
about this with the,
crushing
with the,
your
yeah,
team.
With the three kind of stakeholders in the affiliate. And a lot of gym owners are like, well, my life's easy. I'm like, yeah, but your staff wants to run in traffic right now.
Yeah.
And so I think there's multiple variations of that, but that's the game, you know?
It's a fun game.
It can be. It can also be devastating. If you don't know how to ask the right questions, if you don't understand how to leverage other people, whether that's just asking some questions, whether that's reaching out to somebody like us to help you or Jen to help you with your business, but you're going to have to, here's the funny part. You're going to have to get help at some point.
100%.
It's inevitable.
You can't do it by yourself.
Like if you were to canvas every single person that runs a successful business, I guarantee you that high 99%+ of them went out and asked somebody for help. And they're like, hey, can you help me improve this? Like whether they paid for it or not kind of doesn't matter.
Right.
But they for sure did that.
You're speeding up the stupid tax because we're all stupid and we don't know what the heck we're doing running our businesses.
Yeah, Alex Ramirez calls it the ignorance tax. Yeah. It's like you're paying that whether you like it or not. So like, how about you stop paying it?
You can pay with money. You can pay with time. You can pay with effort.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, I would prefer not to pay that ignorance tax.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And I think we've covered quite a few things in here that that would help people with that. Hopefully you guys are less ignorant than you were when we started this podcast. I know I am.
At least you think of your vegetable drawer differently.
Yeah, stop murdering your vegetables.
Yeah. PSA.
Yeah.
Please.
Murderers. anything else? What else you got going on?
Yeah, just I'm on a really sort of fun sabbatical at the moment. So I'm doing the high level, like 5 hour a week stuff to keep my companies going.
Got it.
I've totally prepped my team with systems and executive assistants so that like the machine works without me there, which was something I wanted to like stress test. And the three things I'm doing is I'm resting, I'm playing, and I'm connecting.
Okay.
So I am getting lots of sleep. I went to like motorcycle race school. That was rad. I'm all
What kind of motorcycles? Like street?
Yeah. On a track. Street.
Okay. Yeah,
like,
okay.
Like street Crotch bikes.
Rocket.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Do you own a motorcycle?
I do.
What kind of motorcycle?
I have a BMW something or other.
Oh, like a cross country.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I taught myself after I got cancer because I wanted to go to Tofino and go surfing and ride motorcycles all over British Columbia. So I set a goal. I learned it. Did it. And my favorite word is yet. So whenever I have an obstacle or any of you guys have an obstacle, I'm like, I don't know how to do that yet.
Yeah.
And then it's like, who can teach me? Where's the information?
Right.
And just is a game, like life is a bunch of games of like, I can't do that yet.
Yeah.
And then you're figuring out how to go do that. So right now I am just on this like 6 months of play and rest and connection. So I'm prioritizing dinner parties and driving all over the country to meet cool people and have cool conversations in interesting rooms.
That's cool.
And just like, I'm very like type A and planned and organized.
Yeah.
And I still am, but this is just like kind of trust in the moment.
Yeah, you are.
I am. I own it like 100%. Like if there's like the bell curve, I'm like, the 0.0001% are like, da, 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 da.
Yeah, Jen, she's like, hey, I need to book that so I can book that travel. And I'm like, oh, she's like, hey, I'm coming to your house.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm like, okay, the 9th. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Play, connection, rest. It's going really well.
How far into that 6 months are you?
I'm right at the halfway part, just a smidge over.
Okay.
And in reality, because I'm still working a bit more in this time period that I didn't want to, guess what? When you're an entrepreneur, you're like the king or queen of your own universe. I was like, I'm the boss. I can just extend it a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And I looked at it. I actually was sharing this with someone.
Sad part is a lot of people don't feel that way.
I know. I was sharing this with someone last night and they're like, thank you for sharing this perspective because it's like changing my mind. And the way I looked at it is I was like, Jen the employee and Jen the boss. Jen the employee is a rock star. Like I get up early. I put in the work. I do my stuff on time. I do overtime if it's required. I care. I go the extra mile. I've given my companies so much overtime and like my very best effort. Like I am the gold star employee. Jen, the boss, needs to recognize that Jen, the employee, has worked her ass off.
Right.
And you know what Jen, the employee, needs? Play, rest, connection. So Jen, the boss, was like, Jen, you go take some time for yourself to play, to rest, to connect. And Jen, the employee, is like, I think I need a little bit more than 6 months. Yeah. I'm going to give myself that.
That's cool.
And I've never, ever like had that kind of like boss employee relationship with in my brain, but we
definitely
slave drive ourselves if we're not careful.
I definitely have, it's a problem.
Yeah. It's a pervasive problem.
I feel, I don't know. This is probably a story I'm telling myself. Soft talk acknowledged. it's really a struggle because I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I think we all do.
I'm good at it
mm-hmm.
and it's going well.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, what's the bad part? Well, the bad part is it's a weird question to ask, which would be, what if it was easier?
Mm-hmm.
What if it was better?
Mm-hmm.
What if you spend a little bit more time doing some of these things, to facilitate all of that? So I for sure have kind of like a, how would I describe it? Not an end state. But they're like, hey, there's some boxes that I want to check.
Yeah.
And then when I check those boxes, then I'm going to shed some weight.
Mm.
Just
make sure it's not a like, and I'm not trying to be your therapist or anything, but like when I achieve this, then
I'm allowed to. No, it's not that. It's just it's part of an overarching
Like, you're driven. You're on a mission.
Driven, but it's also, there's a little bit of ego in there, which I'm okay with. I think it's a healthy amount of ego because I understand, I know what the outcome is going to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm also okay with it not working out in that time frame because I've walked through that scenario too where, like, this, none of these things may align. Mm-hmm. At which point, are you okay with that? Sure.
Yeah.
I'm still going to try to get them.
Yeah.
But I'm also okay if they don't pan out.
Yeah.
But I just want to check those boxes. And I'm sure I'll choose something else after that. But I'm hyper aware that I'm like, hey, you're gonna want to and need to kind of readjust this at some point and then move into a different phase. And the only reason I'm charging towards those boxes to check is I believe that in order to go to the next phase, those are some of the wickets that I would need to check in order to get more knowledge,
right?
In order to share it later.
Right.
So my whole goal is like, hey, you're going to do these things so that you can then share that from a very, very specific vantage point.
Right.
So I look at it that way, which is like, that's for me is what winning looks like. When I have this and I can speak to you on all the way down from 30,000 foot all the way into the weeds, and because I want to share that. And as you get there, I'm obviously sharing a lot of it in route, but at some point I recognize, dude, you don't need to prove anything to anybody.
Yeah.
Like you did the thing.
You've done the thing,
right? Yeah. Now just go share it. And I think everybody probably goes through a certain phase of that. And I think I was listening to Kobe Bryant talk. Listened to an old talk he had about this recently, but you see it in professional athletes. Mm-hmm. They chase and they chase and they chase and they chase and they chase, and eventually they come to grips with like, this is now who I am.
Yeah,
I am a winner.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't think a lot of people poo-poo on that, and I think it's complete horseshit.
It's an awesome mindset.
Winning is fun.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot more fun than sucking
it's
and losing.
So fun.
Yeah.
And it's also hard. Mm-hmm. And I think learning to enjoy the hard work that then results in winning is a totally healthy habit to have. The challenge becomes when people just are never capable of enjoying the win.
Well, right now, that's my metaphor, is like, right. I have been climbing a mountain and I have mastered some really tough mountains. I'm just enjoying the view, giving myself 6 months or 7 months or eight months, whatever it's going to be, having a lot of play and fun at this mountain. And I'm like, there's my next summit.
Yeah.
I can't wait to go up that one next.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we don't like just stop and enjoy the view that we've worked so hard for.
I think you should cautiously future pace yourself in those scenarios. And I think I believe I am doing that with regard to like, okay, here's what I want to do. And I know how I'm going to feel when I get there. I've already looked at it. I've already like envisioned it.
Yep.
I'm like, that's how that's going to work. And I'm going to be super happy with that. And then I'm going to make that transition. And if it doesn't happen, I'll be fine too.
Yeah.
It's okay. Just like it, from a gym owner standpoint, like, hey, I'll get this. I'm like, yeah, but what if you get real close, man? Like
and then
being okay with that too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think everybody goes through that as a gym owner.
Yeah.
Like you're like, I want to be this or I want to be that. And it's just like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to do that? Do you want to do that just because you want to be recognized as that?
Right.
And I think, and for a long time, that was me. I was like, I want to be recognized as this. And I'm like, oh, that's not really why I wanted to do it.
Right.
I wanted to achieve those things so that I could share all that information because I'm really passionate about this community. And I'm like, I want other people to win.
Yeah.
So I'm going to climb up there first, and then I'm going to be like, yo, here's the easiest path, everybody. Like,
Here's the rope.
Here's the boots that you should wear.
Right.
This is going to give you the highest probability of success, and you can avoid
fuse blisters.
Yeah, you can avoid almost all of the pain points involved with that. You're still going to have to learn your own lessons, and it's still going to be climbing up a mountain, but this one is significantly safer with a significantly higher likelihood of success.
Yeah.
And that's why I do it.
That's awesome.
Cool. If you guys want to check out Jen, Prosper Nutrition Coaching, you might catch her driving around the country on a motorcycle. Who knows?
Well, I'm going to get into dirt biking next.
Yeah, or murdering her vegetables. We don't know. Anything else you want to share?
Yeah, just thanks for tuning in, guys. I've loved coming on the show. If you want a little bit, I've obviously like hinted I've had a pretty serious cancer diagnosis in my 30s. There's a couple episodes where I came on with you guys in a Care Bear suit and told the whole long, crazy story. It involved some wolves telling me not to do chemo. And I am so pumped to be celebrating 5 years cancer-free this month.
Congrats on that.
Which is so rad.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. As always, guys, thanks for tuning in. If you guys need help with your nutrition coaching, Jen is a great option. If you guys have questions about running a better affiliate, we have a little thing called Affiliate University. Reach out. No obligation there, but we would love to help you. So outside of that, we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Best Hour of Their Day podcast. We appreciate you listening and choosing to have us help you in your passion for coaching and affiliate ownership. You can find more episodes just like this on all podcast platforms. If you're interested in learning more, you can reach out to us on any social media platforms, or you can visit www.besthouroftheirday.com to book a call. If you found this episode helpful for you, please share it so that we can help other coaches and affiliate owners to help build a bigger and stronger CrossFit community. Thanks for listening.